This is JFM Podcast.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
Good morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular,
it is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd,
the Senate president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not good.
Yeah, motivation and even
the moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. Of course, the best station, the best to give you timely, factual information that will help and guide any decision that you're going to take. My name is Ponsak Fanab. Good evening, Gilbert. How was the day and how's the going?
Lovely day it was. Good evening, Ponsak. There's nothing to complain.
Yeah. I like that adjective, you know, lovely day. Of course, it is a lovely day for us, Gilbert.
Sure.
Well, I think, was it on Monday or Tuesday, the incident at the Polo Roundabout? Mm. In fact, yesterday, same thing happened.
One, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, is it that, you know, how the engineers, you know, designed the road, you know, I don't know what is so peculiar that, you know, trucks were always crash, you know, yeah, the Polo Roundabout, and this time it's even the truck ramp into the that sculpture, you know, of a man, you know, playing polo. I really don't know. I don't know what's going. I mean, this the within 48 hours, this is the second, you know, crash, and just yesterday, the GM of GMDB, Akidehad Banka, you know, came out himself, and Osama was telling me that he was driving and he saw, you know, around 10 o'clock, he saw trucks, you know, trying to make their way and move out of the town. Based on what he said, he said literally he saw 25 of, you know, those trucks. And he said it's because, you know, they were stopped at the Marabanjama. And then when night time came, they had to, you know, continue their journey. But unfortunately, one ramp into a beautiful sculpture, the Polo Roundabout. Very, very pathetic.
Yeah, very pathetic, Ponsak. You said that rightly. And I think it was yesterday I passed around the Dadinkoa axis and saw the beautiful job that Akitehad Banka had done by clearing those guys parked there. And then just around 10, I spoke with Osama this morning, equally, you know, about the incident.
Yeah.
And he was basically trying to find reasons, to adduce the reasons as to why that's happening, just like you're also doing here, Ponsak. And what he said is this, that probably the driver thought, okay, we had arrived at our destination or something, and then the conductor or his auxiliary should take over since they had arrived town.
Yeah.
Probably that's the reason he's trying to adduce, because it's just quite tough to find the exact reason why that place has continued to be, you know, a den of accidents, if anything. And I don't exactly get what the government has to do again, because in time past, the call was for speed bombs to be erected around that area. And to the best of my knowledge, the government did something like that to ensure it stopped. But just somehow, mysteriously, these things keep happening. Something has to give, and something differently has to be done.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that the fact that this government has taken a number of problems upon its shoulders to solve, they will be able, again, to look at architecturally in terms of civil engineering and what have
town
you.
Town planning even.
Thank you.
How we construct our roads.
Yes, to find the right solution to prevent this thing from happening. It's just one too many, and it's quite unfortunate that little attention was even given to that roundabout over the last 10 years or so, 8 years, if you want to look at it.
Well, just to thank Akita at Heart Banker yesterday, I mean, he was there around 10 p.m. himself. By himself, you know, to ascertain the damage, you know, being done, and to, you know, see what they can do, you know, new thinking, new innovation, to, because that has been a perennial problem. And we're thankful that this time around, you know, we didn't get any story of anybody being hurt, you know, in the unfortunate truck crash there. Well, Gilbert, what stories have you followed today? Should we talk about the Ramadan palliatives that Governor Mudfang has given out? You are there. Well, Ramadan is a season, you know, of piety, that people become pious and observe, you know, 30 days of fast. And the state government thought it wise to give palliative, you know, to Plateau people. I don't want to say Muslim, because Muslims too are Plateau people.
Plateau people, true.
You know, because at times when you say Plateau, I mean, there are kind of statement. There are some statement that we make that they have subtle interpretations, you know. So let's leave it at, you know, the state government gave out palliative to Plateau people to ameliorate, you know, the suffering that they face, especially during the month of Ramadan. Even, I would say, even, you know, beyond. I don't want to see it as a one-off thing, you know. It should be something that is very deliberate and consistent. So, well, it's a good thought. It's a good thing, you know. Charity, I truly believe in charity. Charity is a great thing to do.
Really, really great. I saw, I was there, like you said, the storehouse or warehouse, as it were, contained, I think, close to 5,000
bags of grains,
what I saw. And you could see them being shipped out to articulated vehicles for transportation to
different
the 17 local government areas of the state. So what more do you have to say about that? It's a huge gesture. It's a huge symbol. And when I was there, Ponsak, one thing that came to my mind is the fertilizer distribution that people have been calling, you know, on government to do this, government to do. I think what dropped right into my mind at the place was the fact that the governor perhaps has his timing for everything that he wants to do, and probably is just waiting for the right time. But in due course, I'm very sure that the fertilizer distribution would also take shape. I mean, it was, I've never seen something like that, you know, big, big storehouse. And then those things were literally being shipped out. And I was like, okay, since it's for the benefit of the people, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, that is good. Well, did you read the story that the federal government releasing names of alleged terrorism
financiers?
I don't want to, because during the Buhari administration, the UAE, you know, released names and submitted it to the federal government at the time of former president Muhammadu Buhari. But I mean, nothing was done in that respect. So I don't want to. I want to give this one a benefit of doubt. Since their names are in public, what will the federal government do?
You remember there have been so much calls for government to at least publish these names from CSOs, from individuals. And I can count the number of times that we spoke about this same issue. It's soothing, first off, that the names have been published. And of course, the first name on the list is Tukur Mamo. Yes.
I mean, the same person you were
exactly
about
yesterday to get. So probably he's the low hanging fruit that should headline that that list, and it did happen. His name is there. Some linked to Al Qaeda, you know, and some of these other terrorist organizations known globally for the totally wrong reasons. It's good that their names have been published, and if people can identify them and say, look, okay, these are the people, it somehow would help, but action has to be taken. And since one person already is in government custody, then he should be able to, if there are others that aren't or haven't been arrested yet, he should be able to at least provide the necessary intelligence for the apprehension and subsequent detention, so we can see an end to this. But what again do we do if they have got other people who are outside of this net that are yet to even receive mention or yet to be identified? So it means a lot more has to be done by security agencies, especially the secret police agencies.
Yeah, of course. I mean, all should be done, you know, to ensure that this man face the full wrath, you know, of the law, because it's very evil of them to sponsor, you know, these kidnappers, bandits, and terrorism. They can't. I mean, how many names do we have? We have, I think, not up to, okay, 9 names. And 6 BDCs, Bureau the Exchange. Bureau the Change, rather. Well, they should feel the pain that they've brought on many Nigerians, you know. The government should really deal with them decisively so that they are going to pay for the crimes. The
sins,
the sins and the crime that they've committed.
Well, what are the stories? Abia State, the Abia State House of Assembly passed a bill to put a stop to the payment of pensions to former governors in that state. While it's cheering on the one hand, on the other hand, Ponsak, I think that there is something about laws in states, in various states across the country, such that once a governor leaves, another governor can find a way to repeal the laws and then continue business in the fashion that he wants to. I would have said he or she, but rarely do we have female governors. Hopefully we're able to do that. It's a fine one from the House of Assembly, and that must be in collaboration with the governor, and for him to have even signed it into law. It means there's some level of commitment there. But we do not want a situation whereby as soon as he leaves office, he again goes into the list of former governors who end up receiving pensions. Because, I mean, this is Nigeria, and anything is practically possible. So, and this is his first tenure as well. While he has started on the right foot, at least many Nigerians agree that Alex Oti is doing an amazing job as far as his duties and the deliveries of it are concerned. We need to see him continue, sustain the momentum up until his last day in office, just like all other governors across the country.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, well, I mean, the statement from President of the Senate, Senator Akpabio, saying that machineries, I mean, if you read what some civil society organization are saying, that Akpabio is simply guessing, you know, so he may be right and he may be wrong. And, you know, they've knocked, you know, his statement just for, I think that before leaders should talk, there should be some level of reason. You know, you have to calculate what you're saying. I mean, there's this rule in communication that if you walk into a room and you want to start a conversation, you need to understand the room, number one, the mood, and then I've forgotten the rest, the last one. But room and mood, you know, you can't walk into a room of happy people and then you bring bad news. I mean, it's not going to, you're going to give them a sour taste, you know, on their tongue. But if you, you know, happy people, you give them more cheery news, they will be happy because you are saying something that is in consonance with the mood there. Well, let's play this insert from an analyst saying that if Philip Schreiber, maybe we should talk about him, Gilbert. I mean, he's facing one of the fiercest battles
of his life.
Of his life.
And any politician in the country.
Yeah.
I feel for him. I really do feel for him. Strong resolve. He really does not want to back down. But if only he finds himself in a place where, you know, the rule of law would be totally adhered to, I think he would have had a fairer hearing so far in terms of his struggle to ensure that, you know, the right things are done politically. And this is a deputy governor that has had the rare chance of surviving a number of impeachment moves that emanated from his principal, talking about Governor Obaseki Godwin of Edo State. And he's still here standing strong. And it looks like, for me, the battle about who wins legitimately the PDP primaries, even in court, would have been lost. But the party also in Edo State has to trade with caution. Because, you know, the only people allowed by virtue of the 2023 Electoral Act to contest elections aspirants that have participated
in the primary,
elections of the political party. So are we yet going to see another round of litigation in Ondo State? I mean, Edo State, I mean. You know, so this is an issue that probably the PDP has to. And it's not a big enough problem for them not to solve, because the man went to Wadata Plaza in Abuja to table his matter. And you could see clearly that the body language of particularly the spokesperson of the PDP at the national level, Kola Ologbondia, wasn't tilting towards the fact that he has a case to be attended to and all that. So they have to do something differently. Likewise, the APC in Ondo and, of course, Edo States, they have got elections coming there. And the way and manner in which the APC put their house in order in Edo State is worthy of commendation, because they knew they had a problem, and then they came together and conducted another elections. And it appears that everybody is satisfied by the second or shadow election, as it's called right now, that was conducted in Edo State.
Let's play this insert. When we come back, we have guests. I mean, democracy thrives at the community level. I would say that, like, most communities that I've come across or know in Jos and Plateau State have community development association. And what they, you know, one of their core mandate is to ensure that there's unity, togetherness, and that the community, you know, thrives. And then the community gets what it deserves, what is due them, you know, from government. So we have the election, ELCOM committee, electoral committee of Tudumwada. I mean, they're about to, you know, have their elections, and we have the electoral committee. We're going to put them to the test, because most of these communities will say, you know, this, like the INEC chairman, you know, Professor Mahmood, but at your own community level, you know, what is the
contribution?
How true and how, what is the integrity test, you know, of the elections, and what are some of the issues, you know? Because if you want to understand how democracy works, I think that it starts, you know, from the, like they say, grassroots and community. I said the grassroots. How, what will influence the voting pattern of, you know, those communities to choose the leaders that they want to represent them? Will they go after tribe? Will they go after religion? Will they go after money?
Color?
Will they? Yeah. So these are some of the things. When we come back, the show will continue. Stay here.
Voted overwhelmingly that the matter be investigated. And meanwhile, Section 188 sub 4 requires a two-third majority for the matter to be sent for investigation. But we had 19 members voting. That is more than that, about 3 people above the 16 persons required. I also want to put on record that 3 of our members are unavoidably absent as they have official functions in Abuja. So they were unable to partake in these proceedings. By virtue of the provision of the Constitution, Section 188 sub 6 thereof, this panel of 7 have 3 months maximum to do their report. But because of the way this matter is a straight-jacketed matter, a matter that even the deputy governor have thrown in the doorway, because he knew that those allegations are unimpeachable. So as a result of that, he has not even said any response to that.
Yeah, well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Monsak Fadam.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
We have the ELCOM chairman, Mr. Robert Ayuba Koble.
Kobla.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
And we have Mr. Sunday Jugu. He's the ELCOM secretary. Good evening. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, good evening, Monsak. Good evening, Gilbert. Good evening, listener out there.
Yeah, before we go into the elections, because it's democracy, let's talk about, you know, your community and what are some of the specific, you know, needs And okay, maybe the importance of community development association. Yeah, I'll start with you, the ELCOM secretary, Mr. Sunday Jugu. What are the importance, you know, or how has community development association contributed to the progress of communities?
Thank you, Gilbert, for this question. Yeah, the importance of community development associations cannot be overemphasized. You know, any community that is without development is a backward community. And so therefore, Tutuwada, as it is, you know that Tutuwada over the time has attracted a lot of attention in terms of the numeric strength Tutuwada has. And if you go around Tutuwada, you would see that there is little that the government has done to Tutuwada, that is, in terms of development. And so if you see Tutuwada, the number of social amenities that we have in Tutuwada are grossly inadequate. The number of schools we have, the number of public...
Like primary schools?
The number of health institutions we have in Tutuwada are grossly inadequate. And so Tutuwada, as it is, we really want to feel the presence of government.
Okay. Let me come to you, Mr. Robert. The importance of, you know, community development associations, especially, you know, that at the grassroots level.
Thank you very much. Let me just to add on what the secretary said, the need for community development association is very important and cannot be overlooked, because it is the responsibility of the development association to stand in between the community and the government, and therefore the importance is necessary, and which is why they have done so much, and they have attracted attention from government to help in order to develop Tutuwada. Permit me to say that Tutuwada as a community is a cosmopolitan community. Mm-hmm. You find different people in Tutuwada, and Tutuwada happens to be the one of the oldest, if not the oldest community in Tutuwada, and yet in terms of social amenities, Tutuwada is backward. If you permit me to mention some of the needs of Tutuwada, like security. My colleague has mentioned schools, health facilities. Let me talk on security and some others.
Yeah, but how many police stations did the student has?
Honestly, we have only one, and it's grossly inadequate. For a community like Tutuwada that has about 38 communities, 38 units under Tutuwada, and we have only one police outpost, is grossly inadequate.
And it's even an outpost, it's not?
It's an outpost, yes, exactly. Is grossly inadequate, especially you see a place like Mado, for instance. Mado is under a serious threat because of the wildlife park. You know, the wildlife park is not fenced, and anything could come from that axis. For Tutuwada, especially that axis, to have only one police outpost is appalling, so to say.
All right. Mr. Sunday, what effort have the Community Development Association, for example, put or been able to take in terms of action to ensure that people are able to live in Tutuwada and do their businesses and go about their normal activities successfully? He has just spoken about the inadequate security outpost or the police outpost, to say, in Tutuwada and all that. The vigilantes, the local individuals who come together, you know, to provide security. How much have they done to that effect in Tutuwada?
Thank you so much. Yeah, in terms of security, I think there's little that they have done, but the community development have tried in their wisdom. We have come up with security group in various units. And we have the central leadership of the security apparatus of Tutuwada, who have a commander that whatever security challenge you have through the security outfit to the police they work in synergy. And so the last people that were elected tried to harmonize all of this, put them together and come up with this security architecture within the Tudumoda community. So these people give important information to security, to the security agencies. That is why over time, if you see the number of security challenges that we have has dropped drastically because of the presence of some of these security outfits that we have within the community. And so it's a good one. The community development have tried. And that is why we are working towards bringing a new set of leaders into the fold to continue from where those ones have stopped.
In other places, I'm aware people contribute money, you know, to help these guys buy batteries for their torchlights and all that other operations. How are they funded, the community police guys? How are they funded? Is there any sort of assistance being rendered to them, or they do this totally out of sheer volunteerism and free will?
Yes. People volunteer from within the community. Like, sometimes they go out on patrol at night, so the community we contribute little stipends from individuals to get torchlights, rain boots in case during the rainy season, and raincoats, sometimes get it for these security vigilantes that help in patrol, they patrol at night. And so that is how it is being funded. We don't have any funds from anywhere. That is how we fund from the community. So the community funds the vigilantes.
Mr. Robert Kopla, okay. Some communities, you know, have complaints, similar complaints, like those we're getting now from Tudumoda and all that. But we are aware, of course, that it's not all doom and gloom, because you have had some efforts, I think, in parts of Tudumoda as well from the government in terms of roads renewal and rehabilitation and all that. Have some of these projects really, to say, impressed you? Have you been impressed by government's efforts so far? And what are certain areas you'd want to see government intervention massively in Tudumoda community?
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe before I go into that, I want to say a little about the issue of funding the vigilantes,
yes,
in our
ahead.
Community. Just like he rightly pointed out, you know, because of the harsh economic situation, communities are finding it difficult to even part with money, because people hardly get money to eat. And when you talk of security, I know that security is paramount, because without security, you need to be alive before you eat. So most times you discover that people are finding it difficult to eat, not to talk of looking for money to assist the vigilante. We are calling on government seriously to help, because it has reduced, because the desire or the hunger by this vigilante to do the needful is fading away because of the little stipends that is coming. And therefore, we are calling on government to help. Secondly, these vigilantes are mostly using sticks and other things, and whistle and the rest of it, which is not good enough for the security of a community like Tudumoda.
Of course, at least for now, they don't have the rights to carry guns.
Yeah.
To their arms, to say.
Yes, but this modern days, you know, the attackers come with knives, come with other sophisticated weapons. So we desire to have some of these things in order to defend ourselves. We understand that government alone cannot do all of these things. That is why the community needs to, you know, to do something before government will assist. I think over the years, the community have tried in trying to support the vigilante to ensure that the security of Tudumoda is guaranteed. But the situation is overwhelming the community. We are calling on government to intervene, to help, so that these security issues will reduce. We know that it's difficult to say that you wipe up security or you overcome security challenges in communities. Now, back to your question. I think some of the major problems we have in Tudunwada, or challenges we have in Tudunwada, one is road network and then water issue. If you know Tudunwada very well, you understand that these two issues are very, very important, are very paramount and are key. And these are key things that community needs, like water and road. The last 8 years, the past government made attempts to construct road in some part of Tudunwada. Unfortunately, that was not done. Even though we have seen some works going on now by the present administration, we want to say we wish that the present government will take it up and do and conclude the project, because a road network from Kabong to Sabongeri Junction has been a problem in Tudunwada. In fact, road network, especially in Tudunwada, is a great challenge to the community. And we were happy when the immediate past administration contracted that road. But unfortunately, it couldn't see the light of day. And we are hoping that this administration will do the needful, and that will be done. And the second thing is water. Water is the biggest challenge of Tudunwada.
Before you speak about water, there have been some projects ongoing in parts of Tudunwada. Is it close to where you're talking about in terms of route? Because I know for one, am I getting it all mixed up?
Yeah, there's a road, you know, from that will connect Tudunwada to Rukuba Road. I don't know the progress of that project.
Yes, to the best of my knowledge, work have started, and it's not yet. I think it's just from Rukuba. Is it Kabong?
Kabong
primary secondary school to close to Gwarfan, if I'm not mistaken. That is work is ongoing there. That's why I said we are hoping that the work will continue too.
Okay.
The well, nick and crannies of Tudunwada.
Yeah. Let's talk about the elections. I mean, what are some of the experiences you are getting, you know, especially as the electoral committee of a development community development association? What are some of the experiences, you know, that you are having?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think we thank God that the community found us worthy to be elected or appointed as ELCOM.
I mean, 38 communities you were chosen. That is
yes,
that is awesome.
Yes, we are choosing to conduct election for the 38 communities. I think is something that we give God the glory, because I know that if they have not seen any good thing in us, they wouldn't entrust that responsibility to us. By the grace of God, this same committee were the ones that conducted the last election that ended. And I think maybe...
Okay, the same ELCOM, you know, same you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of
so
us.
It shows you that did a good job. You did a good
yes,
job.
Yes, yes. We conducted the last election, and it was fair and...
Free and fair.
Yes.
Okay. You want to add something?
Yeah, to add to what my chairman has said.
I'm so impressed that having served, you know, conducted an election, it shows that maybe INEC should consult you people on how to. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, truly, we were opportuned at that time to be nominated to serve as ELCOM at that time. At that time, my chairman was the caretaker committee chairman. I was the ELCOM. Chairman, and thank to the glory of God, we conducted a very free and fair elections at that time that saw the emergence of Fidelis Ngwan as the community development chairman at that time with his ex-cos. And with the emergence of that ex-co, they did tremendously well, that the people of Tudunwada are so proud of them. And we hope that this time around, we will build on what we did in the past. We are trying to correct the little mistakes of the past to to come up with a very credible elections this time around. And so we are working on that. By the grace of God, the election is going to be a huge success.
You want to? Will you like to tell us, you know, about some of the lapses, you know, of the last election and how you have made deliberate efforts, you know, to correct them? Because I know that other communities are listening and they want to organize themselves, you know, just like your community development association. So what were some of those lapses, you know, that you observed in the last election, and what have you done to make this process now very smooth and great?
Yeah, one of it is in terms of publicity, and that is why we want to thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to come on air to create awareness on the forthcoming election. In the past, we tried to do this, but we are unable to. And this time around, we want a robust involvement of the entire community. We want people to be aware of what is happening and what is about taking place. People that will be elected, be part of the process. Mm-hmm. And so some that felt the other time they were not giving opportunity, this is the opportunity. Mm. We have come up with the sales of forms. We are telling people to come up who feels, who want to participate in the election, who want to be elected, to come up and buy the form to contest. So everybody resident in Turala is free to do that. And so,
okay, only residents.
We're going to provide a level playing ground.
So even if I want to contest now, I'm not permitted, you know, to come and contest, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
I'm not permitted.
You are not permitted because okay. you are not resident in Tudumwada.
Okay.
It's only for people who are resident in Tudumwada that are eligible to vote and be voted for. To add to what my secretary said, some of the lapses that we encountered during the last election where that people said the communication was not adequate, that some were not aware, and that some were disenfranchised. Mm. So we are now saying, okay, if that happened that time, now is an opportunity, just like he said. We try to involve
but
everybody.
Don't you have like WhatsApp platforms or social media platform that people will readily see, you know, this information?
Yeah, we do have.
But I know the communities have WhatsApp platforms, you know, for easy, you know, transmission of just passing information.
Yes, certainly we have. But, you know, people will always say, you know, it's one thing to have the handset and another to have the money for recharge cards. You know, times are hard, like I said earlier.
Churches, you have mosques. I mean, they're different. You know, I'm surprised that the community will say that, there's, you know, a lack of information. If it was voter apathy, is one thing. Talk to us about the behavior, the voting spirit. Do people come out en masse to vote, you know, for their leaders at that community level?
Yeah, that we will give it to Tudumwada. Honestly speaking, the last election, people came out in numbers to vote. I think that the problem, you know, you cannot divorce issues of poor communication and the rest of it when it comes to election. Mm-hmm. Certainly, people will always come with one or two excuses. You know, even those who feel that, okay, their candidates were not elected or their candidate did not come through, will always say that, okay, the process, they will follow the process. So this time around, what we intend to do is, just like you mentioned, we have written to churches to announce. We have platform. We created platform. We the platform for all the units so that information will be passed, so that we intend to carry everybody along, so that some of these lapses that hitherto we have will be overcome.
All right. Well, let's open the phone line 08121877777. We're talking about the importance of community development associations because it's very, very important. If leaders or if people, you know the leaders they will vote for at the community level, it's going to go a long way and even informing a better electorate, you know, at the general elections. 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-556-6699. Don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio before you call or you turn it off completely.
Drop your comments on Facebook at JFM Live, on X at JFM Joss, and we'll be taking them.
Let's take the first call. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling. Hello. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Tony from Chidwada.
Tony, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
So I want to contribute to the program concerning Chidwada. You see, we don't have a good road from Chidwada after the park to bus out from Sabugeri. This road is supposed to take care of us. Secondly, Chidwada needs like a hospital from the Madu side. I live in Madu. You see, we are far away from the hospital. Before you take somebody from that side to the road, you know, it's something else. It's just only the little hospital, that the private hospital that are happening there. That's where people normally run to. So we appeal to the government. Also, we suffer from water. So let the government look at it to do that, Amado particularly, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, water is such a big issue. Hello.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Fanab and Gilbert Joseph with the case in the studio.
Yeah,
the
tell us it.
One calling from Bankenadi.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. Honestly, I want to contribute concerning the leadership of the Plateau State government. You see, it's now that we have a government on the plateau. You understand? Because this man is a kind of a person who understands the problem of plateau. If you can able to look at the leadership style of the barrister Mutfan, he's a person that gives listening aid to communities. You understand? Even though I know that he cannot do it all, you understand? He cannot reach all communities. But you know, we must be patient enough, you understand, to see how far the leadership will go. From now, I think it's just 10 months now. So with time, when it will go like 2 years, I believe the development will go around the communities. And I also want to give it to Hart Bankard, the person you've been discussed from the first beginning program, which he says he come at the incident that happened at Polo. You see now, look at the past 8 years. Have you ever heard of any government official that come around that Polo side when the incident happened? It's no. So it's now that we have a great leader on the plateau. So I pray that God will continue to keep this man so that we are able to achieve to continue to see the dividends of democracy on the plateau. I pray that God will continue to guide and protect him. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. 081-2187-7777. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Eddie Kumar. I'm calling from Pika and T Junction.
We're listening.
Yes, I will comment. So, yes, you have spoken very, very well. And actually, you have bring a very, very important topic, which is community development. You see, community development, something that all has must be on deck so that our community will be developed. Most of our community, we don't have that organization or community developers that will orientate the people on how to develop our community. But with the help of a program like this, I think people from various communities are going to understand what is happening. Like the issue of security in our various communities. You see, most of this insecurity starts from community before it comes to local government level. In most of the community, you see that most of the crime cannot be controlled because of the community are not united. But we are calling on the people at the community. We have community leaders. We have religious leaders of the community. If all of us are on that, we see that we make an impact in terms of developing our community. Lastly, I want to commend the governor and the executive order that was in Plateau State, especially the coming of road, the coming of all these trucks to the city, which is very, very recommended. You see, these trucks that have been stopped by the governor is very, very recommended here in my area in Kitchen Junction. Remain small, a trailer will fall down. And you see, have followed the order, they will not come to the town at the time that they're not supposed to come. So we are calling on those trailers and on those agencies. They should try and impact all this thing so that we can get it. Lastly, those people that are telling in the market that the governor that wanted to evacuate them, we need cooperation. They have to cooperate with the governor so that they can bring development to our state. If there's no cooperation, we cannot get it right. So we are calling on the people. They have to cooperate with the governor and park from the road and go to the location that the governor has given them so that we can get it right. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Sadiq. Hello.
Very good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation.
Thank you very much. This is the voice of Angwar Kubanget Kombe Dado, Antiba Solomon.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I'm very happy for bringing the community leaders from Tuduwada. Now, it's all about community. In my community, for example, in Angwar Kubanget, especially, I have been on top of my voice for most of the challenges in the community. And up to now, as I'm talking to you, we do buy water, for example. We buy. We don't have water for about 3 years ago. 3 years, for Zach, in an urban area. We are not a rural community here in the town. So I want to urge this government, please, I know, at least we have a governor that he can listen to the pleas of the people. He has a concern to build and to develop nothing. But please, what is wrong with the water board? We need to hear what is wrong with the water board. I will plead with the governor more on that particular thing. The water is life. How can people begin to wake up in the midnight, look for water, and at the end of it, they cannot get it? How do we live in a society like that? I appreciate the governor in very many areas of development. He has led his army. As a matter of fact, we must give him support. I want to urge the youth. The youths are not really engaged in this administration. And the youths do not allow anybody to use them against this administration. So, sir, please, can you draw the attention of the water board to explain to us what is wrong with that particular sector? They want to sabotage the effort of the governor? May God help us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. After this, Gilbert will... Okay, we even lost. So maybe, Gilbert, if you can take us, if you're set.
Go to X, yeah. Aaron Fishayo says, I hope the current tide of development on the plateau can be sustained. Governor Mudfong has showed us that good governance is possible. I love plateau. Mayor of Wase says, the governor is doing excellently well. What we want now for a cleanup just is total ban on Okada riders. God bless you. Longdi Sally says, I commend the federal government for listening of sponsors. Okay, listening the names of sponsors of terrorism in Nigeria. It's a bold step, but a name is missing, and you haven't mentioned that name. All right. On Facebook now, Ayodele Agbabiaka says the community was vital to the coming of our talk and do governor, which has shown true good leadership to the people. The people rejoice because the righteous is on the throne. Comrade Longa Dawu says, what captured my attention this evening and made me happy is the issue of the fertilizer you talked about. I am patiently waiting to hear something of that nature, hoping that Mr. Governor will hear our cry and distribute fertilizers for us, the farmers, at government price to boost food production in Plateau State. I think the Commissioner of Agriculture should be invited to the station to tell people how the distribution and will take place and what price, what process will be followed. Felkuka Factors Go On says, communities play a very vital role by mobilizing themselves for a good candidate that will listen to the people's plight. Julius Achigak says, community development associations play a crucial role in mobilizing and orienting the people to vote good candidates in any election that can represent them and proffer solutions to their problems. Don Z says, good society is often considered to be one in which individuals have access to basic human rights, including freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and access to education and healthcare. It's also characterized by fairness, justice, and equity, where everyone is treated with respect and dignity regardless of their race, gender, etc. But unfortunately, our society lacks all of these basic attributes. Albert Akaya Dagza says community development associations are as important as tribal associations, where the development of the society begins. It is important for all and sundry to consciously belong to both community and tribal associations, regardless of whether or not they are indigenous of where they belong. This helps in social cohesion. Good evening. Principal Joseph Melumo says, where there is no law and order, anarchy is inevitable. I commend the state government for implementing the executive order on truck movement in Jos and Bukuru metropolis. This will go a long way in sanitizing the city and reducing the rate of accident. Kudos to Governor Tokandu. We are so proud of you on the plateau. Moses Adinoy says, community development associations are very crucial. They give opportunities for people to suggest ways to develop their community and the state at large. Thank you and good evening. Nanpe Dakup says, community development is all-encompassing with the direct benefits for the constituent. And I think finally, Richard Egbita says, community development is key and this can only be achieved through adequate selection or elections of credible leaders that can be the interest of the community above personal ones. I pray that God uses the outcome towards credible elections. You guys are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, why we're bringing, these leaders from Tudun Wada Development Association, because Tudun Wada is one of the oldest communities, in Jos. So, and they are newer communities. So it's going to be, it's very important that new communities see what, these old communities are doing and try to organize themselves for, quality and harmony and just organizing themselves in such a way that life will be more meaningful and enjoyable, for them. So talk to us. When is that election? When is the election, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you. We are.
And what posts? Can you mention the posts? Don't mention, the name, how much it will take to purchase the, because somebody can come and lie to say he's in Tudun Wada, and like me, now I want to do that.
Thank you very much. For the offices, we have that of the chairman, the vice chairman, the secretary, assistant secretary, treasurer, financial secretary, PRO1, PRO2, provost marshal, auditor 1, auditor 2, DOS, that's director of social. Then lastly, we have the director of research and documentation.
That is powerful. I like the last one.
Yeah.
Okay, so when is the election, secretary?
The election is coming up on the 6th of April, by the grace of God.
Okay. Where?
At Paul Yindri House. Paul Yindri House. Yes.
Okay. I've been there once. So our advice, if you are, if you live in a very fairly new community, just come by there 6 and see how they organize themselves and see the voting pattern. By the way, it's not everybody in the community is going to vote. If I'm
yes,
because I've been there once. It's only delegates, from the respective 38 communities that make up Tudun Wada. So it's just for you to, hear, learn from, what all communities are doing and how you can improve, their mixes and consolidate, on their successes. Thank you so much, Robert Ayuba Kobla, the ELCOM chairman of Tudun Wada. Community Development Association. And thank you, Mr. Sunday Jugu, the ELCOM Secretary of Tudun Wada Community Development Association. We hope that, our conversation will inspire others, because if we have strong Community Development Association, of course our society will be strong.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Gilbert, your final word.
Julius Abure, there is so much doubt for my part whether or not you survive. Now, the political commission of the Nigeria Labour Congress are calling for his head because, according to them, he's organizing a secret congress, to be able to perpetuate himself as chairman of the Labour Party. And from within and without, he has these issues. Let's see if he's able to survive or not.
Yeah. This is much we take on this show. Don't forget, the news will come your way, top of the hour, 6 o'clock. My name is Ponsak Van Abdul. Have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.